we're talking about decision making, and I thought because we have Julie Foudy on our show on Monday talking about women in sports, I thought I'd include a quote from Julie about decision making and sports.
Sports, about confidence and how to work within a team and how to deal with adversity and loss and all these things. Why can't we teach kids to take those lessons and really to think bigger, to apply them to life? And especially with young girls, they often need this little nudge, you know, on that impressionable age when they're in junior high and high school to take that step, to get out of their comfort zone. I find with young girls, they're looking around for acceptance and, you know, a nod of encouragement from their friends before they actually do something they believe in. And so the theme of this Leadership Academy is to mix soccer with these leadership concepts of, you know, the slogan is going to be choose to matter. So taking all these great things you learn on the field and then applying them to life in your communities.
That's Julie Foudy. So, you know, there we are again with a more proactive strategy. John Neighbor, let's start with you. What advice would you give to a parent listening on the phone now who's been a coach themselves, understands a lot of these issues, but feels somewhat paralyzed because they don't know where they can really make a difference?
Well, you have to be aware of the goals of the program at the very earliest age. And when I'm taking a five-year-old out to play football, I have to keep reminding myself exactly what do I want them to get out of the experience today, and not get all wrapped up in what goals and aspirations do I have for this child when they turn 22. And so it may require biting your tongue as a parent. It may require putting the ball and the bat in the hand of the kid, and then sitting down on a lawn chair and picking up a book. And say, go ahead, you know, hit it around, see what's going on. Go over and meet those kids and then see if they want to hit it around with you. And it might just mean disengaging yourself from the process so that, because I found that many, many adults want their kids to be good in sports because it will somehow validate that they're good parents. And, of course, that's hogwash.
And sometimes, in fact, it validates that the parents are just absolutely crazy about the wrong thing. So, Fred, what advice would you give to the parents listening today in terms of actions they can take, obviously as voters, but what about in terms of interacting with that big amorphous sports system that is separate from the school?
Right. Well, what I would say, Nick, to every parent, I'd say, okay, you're ready to sign your child up to play whatever organized sport there is. And when you go to the recreation department to find out where these leagues are, I would say to the rec department, excuse me, do you just allow anybody to use these facilities? But tell me, if I sign my child up for the Jonestown Youth Baseball League that uses your facilities, do you hold them accountable before you just give them the field for them to play? If they say no, I'd say, why not? What can we do in this community? Because haven't we heard enough? Because there are programs. There's our program to help educate coaches, hold them accountable. There's the positive coaching, the American Coaching Effectiveness Program. There's a number of programs that are quality programs. But what we need to do is tell parents to put the pressure on local communities to make sure that they're in place.
I can also tell you that Michael Josephson, whom you quoted on this program earlier, has a sports program called Pursuing Victory with Honor, and they've got a whole long list of programs and forums and ideas for people to think about when they're getting their kids involved in youth sports.
Okay, well, so let's go to a more personal level. What about the fact that each community, as Michael Josephson talked about, is going to be reflected in that leadership? It becomes very personal leadership, very eccentric leadership. How on earth can you avoid that? That it becomes sort of a cult of personality in each county, in each district, because you don't have government, big government, overlooking this?
You can't avoid it, but you can respond correctly once it happens. I look at that video footage of the coach who punches an official in the face. There's nothing you can do to prevent something like that from being able to occur when a well-meaning adult loses his temper. But ideally, what you want to do is you want to teach everyone around that person how to react at that very moment so that the kids aren't scarred for life.
Well, there's another side to look at it, Nick. We're looking at the very worst of the scenarios, almost the very worst. The poor kid didn't get killed. But that has happened, as we know. The problem is being able to have these programs out there to be able to say to the leagues and the parents and the coaches, It's not about all these nice things that we'd like to have, but what kind of punishment can we put on these leagues that do not adhere to the standards of making sports fun and safe for kids? If we don't do that, we'll be doing the same thing for the next 25 years, talking about these horrific issues. But the bottom line is, fortunately, most people are good, caring people.
Here's Julie Fowdy with one final thought. She'll be our guest on Monday's show. Here's Julie Fowdy talking about the other side of the coin, which is all the expectations placed on parents already.
Well, I think you have to kind of gauge your kid, too. I think it's a fine line. You know, you obviously want to encourage them, but, you know, like you said, you know, nowadays parents spend their lives carting kids around. You know, I was just having this discussion with a group of parents with, you know, kids that are, you know, in their early teens, and, you know, they're like, we've got four games every weekend, and I said, why do you feel the need to go to every single game?
There you go. I'm glad to hear that from you, from somebody as successful as you. It's about time somebody says that. They don't have to be at every game.
Why do you have to be at every game? You know, that you shouldn't dictate your life on them, you know. Avoid going to every game. I said, when my parents weren't there, I didn't feel like, oh, they don't love me or support me. I wasn't playing for them. I was playing for me.
John Neighbor, I want to thank you again for joining us on the show. We're going to be going to Merrill Hodge here in a minute to talk about the NFL, but we've got to finish, I think, with a tight message. You with the Positive Coaching Alliance and the great work they do, what would you say is the number one most important step any parent can take right now to making sure that their kids have the right experience through sports?
I think to remember that it's got to be fun. And when adults are arguing in front of kids, that's not fun for the kids either. I think it's very important to remember that you look up the word sport in the dictionary, and it does mention it's a pleasurable activity. It's got to be fun.
Well, thanks for joining us. Appreciate all the great work you do with the Positive Coaching Alliance and around the country, John Neighbor. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. And finally, Fred Eng. You know, we've been talking about these issues for a long time. Julie Fowdy touched on it as well. What's your most important message from the National Alliance for Youth Sports for the parents that want to get involved and make a difference?
I tell them every time, click on our website, nays.org, and all the answers to the problems are there. And you do that, begin implementing it in communities, and we'll be well on our way to making it good.
Well, thanks for joining us as well, Fred. Thanks for all the great work you do, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, well, we're going to make a big switch and focus to the NFL with Merrill Hodge from ESPN Primetime. Merrill, thanks for joining us, buddy. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Fast Eyes a little later today. Things are kind of getting readjusted because of Bo Schembechler's passing, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, this show today has all been about coaching. Now, here, this is sort of the higher end. This college itself. And, of course, ironic that it is the day before one of the bigger games in college history in the last couple of years. Bo Schembechler and his image, his contribution. What does that represent to you when you think about Ohio State and Michigan, one of the great rivalries in football?
Well, I don't think you can think of Michigan without thinking of Bo Schembechler. And I guess the best way or the easiest way for me to compare it is, you know, just like Vince Lombardi is to the Green Bay Packers and the NFL. You know, that's what I think Bo Schembechler is to Michigan college football. I think they're synonymous. You know, even though they've had, I don't know how many coaches over the years, I can never look at a Michigan uniform and not think of Bo Schembechler. So, you know, it's unfortunate of his passing and very eerie that, you know, this week, ironically, but it'll be interesting to see how the team responds. You know, you never know. It can be heavy and burdensome, or, you know, it can be inspiring and motivating. You know, it's kind of be interesting to see how, you know, Michigan responds to it. You know, it's been such a big week, and so much has been made of this game. You know, I've studied the tape on both. In fact, I did a playbook for them for ESPN and our Football Friday show, and I'm impressed by their style and the way they play football, so I expect it to be a great game. But unfortunately, there'll be kind of a black silver lining over this one, kind of a black cloud with Bo Schembechler passing.
Well, I would have said that Ohio State had the edge, but I remember last year when Mr. Mara, one of the most sincere, genuine, quality people in the history of the NFL, who the NFL would not be the same without Wellington Mara, and how the Giants, it surprised me, how emotionally they played the next week. They played lights out because they wanted to honor that man. I wouldn't be surprised if that does have some effect tomorrow, and if that's the case, I think that's one way to honor him, and we'll see one heck of a game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's going to affect it. You know, which way it affects it, you know, I guess the game will tell us that, but it'll be another intriguing reason to watch this game.
Hey, let's go to some of these games coming up this weekend, Merrill. A lot of interesting subplots around the NFL. Rather than starting with a big game, let's start off with Buffalo and the challenges they've had. We had Marv Levy on the show talking about J.P. Lossman, and I'm going to go with Buffalo over Texas, even though it's at Texas. And here's a quote from Marv Levy about the development of young quarterbacks in general.
Any number of times. Like most young quarterbacks, it takes a while to develop. Peyton Manning, I understand, threw 28 interceptions as a rookie, was 3-13. Troy Aikman was 1-15. We like the potential we see in J.P. Lossman. We like his character, his attitude, his work ethic, his intelligence. The cast around him has to get better. He has to get better.
That's Marv Levy. What do you think about this Buffalo game at Houston this weekend?
I actually like the Texans. I'll tell you this. Their defense, and, you know, it isn't because of Mario Williams. I mean, Mario Williams has been embarrassing, I think, as far as watching him week in and week out. You know, I've never seen a guy that was so highly touted that has absolutely no motor. I mean, I watch him week in and week out. And he makes one move, and if that move doesn't work, and most of the time it doesn't, about 99% of the time it doesn't work, he's done playing. So they're actually a better football team when he's not on the field. But they're outstanding against the run. They played much better. I think they're going to pose some problems with J.P. Lossman the way they play on the outside. And, you know, the one thing about, you know, making those comparisons to those rookies, you know, J.P. is not a rookie, though. You know, that's the one difference. I think that there were signs early in the year that I was impressed with him. I didn't like him coming out because I thought he had an embarrassing attitude. You know, he was already anointed himself to be a great player, and I think he has learned that, you know, a lot of work goes into being a great player. But I've seen some good things about him, you know, that he hasn't been able to materialize later in the middle of the year because they've been struggling trying to protect him, but he can sure throw the football. I'm going to say this, there's not a place you can't throw it, but that gets you in trouble sometimes. You know, that's been the thing, or will be one of the things that he really has to work on.
I'm talking with Merrill Hodge with some NFL picks and from ESPN Prime Time. We talked with Solomon Wilcots about Chicago and the development of Rex Grossman, and really, to me, the maturity that Lovie Smith has shown by letting Rex Grossman turn it loose, by letting him make some mistakes. Here's Marv Levy talking about Chicago. I want your comment on this game coming up, Chicago at the Jets.
Very high regard for them. One of the things that allowed Rex Grossman to survive those early mistakes was a great defense and an outstanding kicking teams around him. You stay in the game even when you make a mistake. You know, if a turnover occurs early, you can't keep doing it. And your defense stiffens and keeps the opponent from scoring. You're not having to play come-from-behind football, and you have a chance to redeem yourself.
That's Marv Levy. What do you think about Chicago at the Jets this weekend?
Well, you know what? I think the Jets are going to walk into the Bears are walking into a buzzsaw. The Jet defense is drastically improved every week. They got after Tom Brady, smacked him around. Tom took a lot of shots. There's a lot of problems. They do a lot of things defensively. They move around. They stand people up. They walk around before the ball snaps. What that does is it makes it hard to identify who you're to pick up if you're an offensive lineman or a running back. And you know, all it takes is one guy to make a mistake, and you got, you know, your quarterback getting smacked. So I would expect them to have success doing that. They've had success the last few weeks doing it. And that's when Rex Grossman doesn't play that well. Not many quarterbacks do, but he's not experienced enough, I think, to truly handle that. I was impressed, though, against the Giants when he threw the interception for a touchdown and how he responded. I can't remember if it was a touchdown, but the interception that he threw early in the game, how he responded, you know, said a lot about him, but he's going to have to respond to this one because this Jet defense is better than the Giant defense right now.
They'll be all over him. Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Merrill Hodge, some more picks. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.